be that easy. It has to go.
Right.
You have to do a lot of complicated practices. And
I never heard this before. I didn't remember this. He said you should be ascended within 40 days of interacting with Ion. Now, that's a pretty amazing statement.
Mm. Who said that?
Yeah.
Ion said that tonight.
Actually, he always has said that you're already ascended and we see you as ascended, that you are catching up.
Right. It takes you about 40 days to figure that out if you explore it somehow. I should actually go back and play the last 20 minutes. It was pretty good what he was saying. You can stay here till 4, right, Bert?
Yeah.
Well, another 3 hours. Because I want to do some McLuhan, and you're able to stay a few more hours, Roxy. You're not going anywhere, right?
I can stay the whole...
Indefinite. Yeah. So we got a lot of little facts thrown at us in the last 20 minutes. That's ridiculous. The 40 days, I should have that. I was taking notes. Creating darkness and light, that was... Did he say that we create darkness and light or not darkness? What was that?
You can't create darkness. You can only remove light.
Right. Create and not. Okay. Yeah, it was at 216. 40 days is all that's required. Let me just play that. See if I can. Approximately 216. So go back to 216. Right here.
With the rope, because they'd get the stinking after they. Burnt.
Yeah, no one else could go in and get them, so they had a rope because no one else could go near there. You'd drag them out.
Dude.
So this is the whole, now this gets into a lot of the stories in the Bible, which we've gone through, which are pretty interesting, and you guys can ask about it. But, Sheldon, you're not talking enough. What questions you got?
I'm still trying to, I don't know. Figure out how it gets us to our throne.
Well, you're on the process now already. It's a three-part process. See, we tell that even to the blithering idiots. But now what now the things that we've told you, the blithering idiot version of the story, now you can start applying this information to that knowing. And when in doubt, simplify it out, because it's easier than you'll ever make it. Okay. So go literal, go with a three-part process that we've already laid out thoroughly, and that's what the whole scriptures, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, aren't worth a damn until you talk about the ascension. And that's what they talk the least about in the scriptures. On the Emmaus Road, Jesus was in the process of ascension. And they came up and they wanted to grab Jesus. He said, wait, my ascension's not complete yet. Don't fuck with me right now. There's 40 days of ascension. And that's all it should take any human creator is 40 days to ascend.
And the three-part process you're saying available to us is hearing Ion, assessing the information, imbibing the RNA drops, then the third phase is deciding whether you want to take the plunge or not, or take the...
Well, apply it. Allow it to come into your place. Allow it to be...
Those are the three steps of ascension, and one can do in 40 days. You should have got it.
Right. And anything else, you're just playing with it. It's like your penis. After you rub it more than three times, you're just playing with it.
Well, so if that's accurate, then we should have already ascended, or have we already ascended?
Well, we say you already have. You're just trying to decide that.
Yeah, Barbara, you know, many of us, when we started 2 years ago, so we had a year and a half of information. Then the RNA drop showed up in March, April. Then you had second phase. Now we've had 3 or 4 months of taking that in the realign, and now we're into the third phase of assessing if you really
where you have mean rogue Ion.
Yeah, mean rogue Ion. Mm-hmm. And so people who just showed up today they got to hear some information, but they got the RNA drops right away available for them, and when they're ready, they can get to stage two real fast, whereas it took us a year and a half.
Okay,
and the ones that embrace it, imply it, we're patient. And those that are still dicking with it, we'll shut the moneymaker down fast. We're not so woo-woo soft and easy, baby, and kissy-kissy. Be real still. We'll give you the honor of a reach around. Screw that noise.
Yeah, Ian, you were like that. You were like that from March, April 2009 till December and the Blood Moon.
Do.
And once the Blood Moon happened.
Cats out of the sack.
Yeah, mean Ion started to show up, and he started to play.
No more free poker.
Right, he started saying that around last December.
Because, see, you've upped the ante now to the point where you have enough information to shit or get off the pot. And we say decide. The point is now is decide. If you decide to carry on, come to your throne, those that porcelain god many of you worship, wonderful. But if not, get out before it gets ugly.
Yeah, Legend was asking a question. What did you say? The draft or something?
The graph. Who designed this graph? How long has it been around?
Always.
Always.
Yeah, and the one who kind of saw it first was Enoch or Noah, Ion.
Well, who was it? Tell them who Enoch and Noah were.
Was Enoch was Noah's father? Is that what it was, Sasha? Can't remember. Who was?
Enoch was grandfather. Hang on, it goes.
Grandfather.
Paul, yeah.
Grandfather.
Right, so Enoch was there first.
Methuselah was Enoch's son.
The what?
Methuselah was Enoch's son and Noah's father.
Very good. Very good.
So this thing about mean rogue Ion, that I don't know if he had ever said that before. And people's thought of mean rogue Ion coming on after the absence when he came back in 2013, 2014. But it's interesting that Ion called it way back then that Ion was going to shift. That's pretty neat, eh?
Yes.
Yep.
That's a pretty good explanation there. 40 days is all that is required of somehow engaging Iondom today.
Yeah. There's something significant about 40 days. It's always in the Bible, if you do this for 40 days, then you shift.
Yeah, we may have asked Ion about that a long time ago. I don't remember the answer. Why is it? We went from 69 to 2009, 40 years in the wilderness. So, 40 shows up a lot. So what else? There were some other good things in there.
The part about go ahead.
No, it's all right.
Well, what Sasha was saying in the very beginning about when you making just specifying the difference between when you have to do something as opposed to wanting to do something.
Yeah, the theta wave effect. It affects the theta wave.
Yeah, that theta wave. That's really awesome.
What was it? If you want to do something, you activate the theta waves?
I think so, yeah. I didn't understand the part about the hot flashes, but, or how that related to, between wanting and having to do it. I don't know. But,
right. You have to listen to it again.
Let
me see where that is. I wrote out that stuff, hot flashes. That's,
He made it sound like an older woman would be more compelled to do something because she had to, as compared to a younger person.
Younger person wouldn't do the wash, wouldn't do the laundry.
Yeah, they would not, just do something because they had to.
Yeah.
Without questioning it. Oh. And maybe that's true. I don't know, but it's a pretty big generalization.
Okay, well, let me play this.
Right, okay.
And what she's saying is, now say it again.
Say which part again?
If you have to do something, it changes.
Wanting to, as opposed to have,
rather than wanting to do something, it affects your frequency of your brain.
The theta waves of your brain.
Okay. Okay, so how does it affect the theta wave of your brain? What's the outcome?
Well, it's that's cranial intercoursing, as we said today. You're screwing with your mind. Don't screw with your mind, and it won't come up.
Theta waves are involved with that.
Dude.
And if you're menopausal, you'll get a hot flash, and that's how you'll
know
theta waves. Okay.
Instantly. The theta waves are the only thing that cause a hot flash, a shift in a theta wave frequency when you're perimenopausal.
Okay, Carolyn, did you know that?
No.
Okay, so you're saying, Ion, that the hot flash is a result of some mind activity.
Shift of the theta waves incongruent with the outcome of the desire to want to do something and having to do something.
So it's a registration generally of frustration that you didn't do your desire?
That doesn't have to be frustration. See, you're leading. It may be a frustration, but doesn't have to be. Women will be moving along, getting things done, and all of a sudden they, oh, my God, bing, 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 bing. The washing machine goes off. That means you got to take stuff out of the washing machine and put it in the dryer. Well, that means the stuff's got to be taken out of the dryer, and that means 55 more things have got to be damn ironed. Oh, my God, I got to go pick up the kids. Oh, my God, this dinner's burning. Oh, my God. And the next thing you know, they're drenched.
What's drenched?
The body.
Right, so it's a registration of this domino effect.
Well, the shift in the theta wave frequency that's pushed.
Now, why doesn't that happen to a 20-year-old?
Because they're not pushed.
So the menopausal period you're coming into is making your body sensitive to what your brain does to you.
How many 20-year-olds do you see pining because they've backed up on their ironing?
Right.
They don't iron.
They don't iron.
So aging and adult routine set you up for hot flashes.
Well, the theta waves that you've grown accustomed to, the shift in those theta waves gives a response. It sets
it's
off.
A shifting. The theta waves is an indication of routine, and then you upset that.
It sets off the hypothalamus to say you're burning up, so your body immediately releases profuse sweating.
So, Carol, how does that add to your menopause knowledge? What does that bring to what you already know?
I don't know. That's something I'll have to think on. I'm not getting any hot flashes about it.
That's because your theta waves are in balance and nothing comes in your environment that you allow to affect your theta balance.
Two points. I remembered that this session, it was the first of the second group, and we had this parallel world connection, other worlds coming through. But I forgot that it was making noise all the way through it. That's pretty incredible, right? That we never had that kind of interference during the session.
And it would increase when certain people were, when people were asking certain questions, all of a sudden it was like huge static.
And we brought that up. Hey, just a minute, Roxy. When we brought that up, talked about it, Ion said what I was just saying last few weeks, that this group was going to be different because it's the people in the group makes a different kind of things discussed. He said that way back then, that the quality of the people, or not the quality, but just what the people are, will make a different situation from another group.
So that makes me ask, where was Jeannie, Brian, Margarita, the others who were usually on rewrites?
No, I stopped it. I stopped that group. And I said, I'm going to go with a new bunch of people.
I wanted to say something.
Yeah, Roxy, what?
Yes, he's saying that these connections create the frequency that creates all kinds of things. And I think that is the thing when you were talking about how to control the hologram and the matrix. We're going to get to a point where we can control this frequency that creates all kinds of things, and we can be able to be shifting, modulating the frequency.
Right, it would be an environmental alchemy. You're what you live in.
Yes, and it's interesting how he links this shifting of frequencies and how they affect the hypothalamus and, for example, aging.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty neat. He brought in the hypothalamus, you know, which we know a lot more about now, but he said that 4 years ago in relation to the theta waves.
So the theta waves are connected to the shift. So each time we go to bed or getting ready to sleep, we shift and go into a parallel world.
I don't know about that. He wasn't saying that. That might be true, but no, he's just talking about your chemical body's biology. And you would get a shift in the theta waves, and that would cause a hot flash.
If you take an action.
It was based on someone who had chores.
Yeah.
And responsibility.
That you weren't aligned with.
Yes, and for example, for me that's clear how I could not engage the Kabbal thing. I cannot stand that. It's a frequency. I just don't like the when you were doing the Kabbal.
Alan Kabbal. You hated that.
Yes, I just didn't like that frequency.
Right.
And I didn't want it to. Maybe it's the connections, the group, the people. I don't know the frequency they are on that they like that.
Right. And you just reminded me, I have forgot to look to yesterday. That's
you reminded Bob.
I use most morning, Bob. Can you hear me?
Is that Kim?
It is Kim. I just want to say something. I dozed off while listening, and when I woke up, I was listening to that part of Revelation where talking about the first blood moon and then the drops and then the Arab Spring. And it just was so clear to me that your charts, holiopathic, you know, tiny affects a large.
Right.
And that at that time, you know, most of us, no one knew what was happening. Mm. And yet the tiny was beginning to do like the inside to the outer rings was affecting everything.
And you noticed
it was
that.
Not seen. Oh yeah, I mean I notice that now, but I guess in my half sleep, waking up, listening to that, you always stress how important the tiny is, you know, and it's the leading edge. And that was to me, I mean, in that moment of waking up and sleeping, I was like, I just like drew my breath in and woke me up. I was like, oh my gosh, that is like, it was happening at that time and we didn't know and now, here we are 4 years later, and, you know, it's bigger now and more know. And it's like almost like looking at pi when you see that, what is it called, the infinity, where it's small and it goes out like a scroll, you know, the circle bigger and bigger and bigger and draws more in, kind of like looking at a universe from the top. It's kind of like that, is that was in the center. And as this, you know, spacing of time, and now we're at the last blood moon, it's pulled more and more into, like, this universe. And a lot of us are aware of it that have never engaged.
You said hive?
You said
the hive.
Oh, I didn't mean the hive.
You said the hive. Okay.
No. When you look at it from above, if you were looking at that.
You mean a cornucopia tube? The cornucopia
Right, it brings things in. So the tiny was affecting, but drawing in.
Well, that's a black hole. That's a black hole.
Okay, I don't consider this a black hole.
Well, don't put negative ideas in. Just the phenomenon of sucking light and things into a place, which you're describing, is what the black hole does.
Well, it's exactly what this has done. It's sucking everything into it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, here's a thought here, Kim. Talking about tiny, somewhere back there, I heard the past year, Ian said, to do what Ian's doing, they said they only needed one thing. They just need to connect with one person, and they connected with Bob, and that was it. They just need to connect with one person. Did you hear him say that?
I do. I do remember that. And to listen to it, you would kind of go, well, how can that possibly be? what difference would that make? You know, in your mind, you would fight that statement.
Yeah.
You know,
we think bigger. Ian says humans think bigger is better, but it's actually smaller is better. And Ian said that Carolyn came forth with a small body to prove how small things could be very powerful.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
David and Goliath.
Affected everything. Yeah.
What?
So her power is affecting everything, you know,
yeah,
Carolyn.
Yeah, she right, and people, when they meet her, it used to surprise me. Once she started being on the TV and all these different media since 1986, they'd always go, oh, I thought you were a lot bigger. They'd be shocked at how little she was. So her image, her aura was huge, and they couldn't believe she was a little girl. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Thanks for playing that rewrite. Thank you. That was an amazing, now to see the cause and effect. It's played, it's out. And to watch now the tiny effect out. And to watch the next few weeks will be very interesting.
Yes.
So you're saying the cornucopia is a tiny thing, sucking everything into it.
It appears that way to me. I've had a few dreams where I've seen things like that. And I guess in my world, I'm just trying to, I don't know, I guess I'm trying to picture it. And what does it, how do I translate it into what I've seen? And that's the way I've done it, at least for me. And whether that's correct or not, I don't know. But it's...
Well, I looked up, Alan Cabal does have a column, and it's called The Solace of Autumn. But the subtitle is Hubris Abounds These Days. If he heard what we were just saying now, he'd say, that Bob, what huge hubris he has, you know, claiming that he's doing what you're saying, Kim. It goes right into his column here.
Oh, it does.
Hubris abounds these days.
Well, no one can accept any of this because they're like, well, how can any of this affect anything? Because they can't see above and look down in. So,
okay,
you know,
I'm leaving
that,
if you start.
Yeah,
say that
we're
again,
not going to read it, Kyle. Oh, you're too important, Roxy. We won't read them.
No, but makes me go.
Well, we're not doing it, so you can't go. We have to do the McLuhan. So forget it.
Oh, Lordy.
Hey, Bob, did I hear correctly that the chip body is in the Escher? Did I hear that? Did anyone hear that?
Yeah, that was new. That was new. Yeah, the chip body is where the Escher action is.
Wow.
Yeah, the Escher seventh ring, that is where the chip body action is of affecting non-physical or being affected by non-physical. It happens in the Escher ring.
Wow. It's big. Real big.
And something they mentioned about the shows that came out because each of you, when you asked,
the TV shows,
said,
yeah,
Twilight. Were they talking about the Twilight Zone or
no? The TV show, the Twilight Zone. No, the Twilight Zone.
The TV show.
And someone said, "Oh, it's a new show and a new version of it."
Yeah, I was looking it up, a new version. I don't see a new version of the Twilight Zone. There's a new version
of... Right, it may not have happened yet.
Saga, yeah.
But the Twilight Zone was in the 50s, I think, early 60s. And, when he says, puts me on that show, that fits. I watched the Twilight Zone 50 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there was another show called The Outer Limits, And, yeah. And when I visited Reverend Stang on October 28th, I think it was, 1988, Carol and I visited, he and his family. It turned out he had a whole collection of Outer Limits shows. So I said, do you have the episode on the Xantes? Which I always remembered. He said, yeah. So he played it for me. So that would be 25 years later, I got to re-look at the Xantes episode, which had stuck with me. And they were little insects.
It's very clear because
there
you are the mystery landscape becoming visual.
Right.
Visible.
The Xantes. We should look that up. I wonder if that's spelled with an X or a Z. That's sort of like the anti-environment. Xenarchony is anti-environment. The Xantes.
Oh, wow.
But he had them all, the Outer Limits. I mean, I bet you probably even on, I could play it. Probably go on to Prime Wire and, let's see, there it is.
Oh, the Xantes Misfits episode?
What'd you say?
The Xantes Misfits episode?
Maybe. I'm looking at a list of the Outer Limits episodes. Let me just look at this list.
Yeah, the Outer Limits, this one called the Xantes Misfits episode.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, the Xantes Misfits. So let me see if it's over on PrimeWire. Can you? Is this okay, Roxy? We go look at the Xantes? Is that upset you?
Yes, I allow it.
The Illuminati bitch is putting her foot down. We're not leaving. We're not going into the trivial route. So do you want to do some McLuhan there, Roxy? Want to do the next Dooline newsletter?
Of course.
Yes.
One more question about the protons, the little crosses or protons.
Yes.
When you were going over that in Chapter 23 with Ion, the little crosses you called lampstands, and so are lampstands the protons? Is that the deal? Or
did Ion say that? I don't remember that.
Not in this one, but in this one he said they are protons. In the chapter 23, when you and Ion were going over the chart, he said they were lampstands.
Okay.
You remember
he
that?
Said the protons were. That's in the Revelation series, you're saying.
Yeah, the lampstand.
Well, how come Brian doesn't know that? Brian, who's listened to this like 10 times.
I know, that's why I was saying there must be something else.
Oh, you know what that is? Hey, you know what? That's an example of Brian has to engage Ion about that. It may have been said, but that doesn't apply to Brian. And there's something about Brian's bugaboo on that topic that he has not probed Ion enough about it. You know, it's for him.
Yeah. Right.
But
right.
I want to mention, what was that? There was a really important thing. You were talking about what? I never heard that before. So you look at the diagram. The crosses, the little crosses are protons, but there's no neutrons there. The blank empty spaces are ions, and then the electron is involved with the exchange with the ion. That's why they're not there, but they're implied, but the neutrons aren't engaged, so they're not there. It really makes it clear what particles are in the diagram.
I know, I just love that part.
Yeah, that was really good. So the Xantes Misfits.
Do they say why the neutrons are not there?
Probably, I don't remember.
That's the fallen state. If they were there, it would be the fallen state. But they can't be there.
That's right. It's a perfect
chart.
Cell. Good point. It's a perfect cell. That's what the chart is. A picture of the perfect cell. So you can't have the neutrons there.
Cool.
That's pretty neat. Well, let's get the McLuhan done, then we can go back and do some more in this. It's pretty neat listening to this
stuff.
Okay,
but another thing I was thinking of.
Okay, just a minute, Roxy. What is it, Eliza?
I just have a question. How many different rewrite groups were there?
Only two.
Only two.
I don't know what
so
it was. What happened was we did the group October 20th, approximately 2010, till July 20th or something, 2011. We did 36 sessions, most of them 6 hours long. That's a lot of stuff. And I think I got frustrated with the group. I don't know what it was. They weren't asking questions or something. So then we took a two-month break. That's when JW and I went to the Vatican in August 2011. Right? So we took this break for 2 months, and then we came back, and it's like, well, okay, we're starting afresh. So I said, I'm going to form a new rewrite group, which was more the people who had just got into the Revelation, just they're latecomers, and they had all done the series, and they wanted to talk about it. So I said, okay, let's see what happens with these people. They might ask questions. And Sasha was on the first group. She was the only one brought over from the first group because she asked a lot of questions. So I, quote, rewarded her by letting her be in the second group because I knew at least she'd ask stuff. And she starts it off. She made the notes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I'm telling you, I'm not giving out these notes to anybody. You got to make your own notes from what you hear because they'll get sent around and get out there. Dan Wright will get them, or Dan Winter will get them.
No,
and then we'll be fucked.
It will not get sent around. If you tell us to keep them, then we will keep them.
Well, that's you, Eliza. I can't trust anybody, basically, here. So I can trust you, Eliza, but
yeah,
who
even
else?
Better.
That's right. I only do it under hot flash conditions. I only trust you because you forced me to.
I leave you no
choice.
I get
incredible. Every time I think of you, Eliza, I get these fucking hot flashes. It's fucking stressful. And I don't even know. I may not survive this. Ian said that's not to be put out in the public.
Oh.
But hopefully that's 4 years ago and... You know, hopefully,
I forgot about it.
Bob is going to make it.
Is that Leon?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
I need to fuck with somebody in the future. Yeah.
What'd you say? You got to fuck with somebody in the future?
Yeah, you. I mean, who's better? Because Bob will come back at you.
That's right. If you want to fuck with me, you better be ready to fuck.
I know. Reverend Stain is having that problem right now, isn't he?
That's right. But, okay, so let's go on the McClone. But anyways, it's pretty awesome. So what we'll do probably is I did 3 hours of that rewrite, and then we can do another 3 hours later, you know, next week or something.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Awesome.
But it's pretty, you don't think it's embarrassing for Sue or Renee or these people,
no.
Right? It's not that embarrassing.
No.
And another thing, the reason I'm playing the second group, it is embarrassing for the first group because they struggle along for like 20 sessions just trying to get information. So that summary of the chart was based on 25 weeks of work, you know? And then I can present it just quickly in this introductory session with them. And I thought, well, that'd be a better way to play this because I didn't want to play all those tedious, endless hours of people trying to get something out of whatever. And we didn't know where we were going. It took a lot of work. So these are pretty good, these ones. At least this first one. Now, I think we get into a lot of different stuff, different from the previous group. But what really symbolized it was the first time we do it, this other world leaking in. That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. So that didn't
if
happen
you
when you guys
were doing
the other
actually believe all
group?
This stuff that I... Do you guys believe what I had said?
100%. We don't question it.
I'm making
Why
my
not?
Own hologram.
Yeah. Why don't you question
my hologram.
Yeah. What is that?
It's
I have a small brain and I intend to use it. my hologram, and I'm going to use it. Yeah. And you heard Ion mentioned the hologram. He actually was talking about, you know, it's great to rehear what we realized in the last couple of years. He said 4 years ago, and how you missed that when. See, this is going to be dynamite for the first group to hear, because they never got to hear what was done in the second group. So I mentioned what Ginny and them were going to think about this.
Yeah. Also, Ion was tying these shows with people, so now I can understand why he gives these clips as answers to certain people, because he's relating some of these shows
to them
closely. Yeah, somehow there's a frequency that matches up with them, matches up with that, if you get it for an answer.
Right,
I don't know how, but...
And that's the whole entertainment complex that makes up people's unconscious, their TV body in that. Ion is addressing that. That's post-verbal. He's taking, you're an environment, you're a product of a certain hologram you've made for yourself, and this is the song that resonates with you in that question. So that's way more sophisticated, giving people as a reading or a session and responding to them by non-physical, way beyond any mediumship we ever heard before.
Yeah, I should say.
They're just giving concepts. What?
Oh, your perfect timing. Here it is, 4 years after that recording. You're playing it this weekend. You went in August of 2011 to the Vatican with J.W., now the Vatican is here on U.S. soil, and it's just the interplay and the overlay of time, you know, and it's just it just beautifully works out. It just beautifully works out.
Okay, when we went to the bunker last week, the day we started to come back, on the 22nd, the Pope arrived near where we were in Washington, and then we flew out that day. And we went to Seattle, then to Maui. The plane took us to Seattle. And in the airport, in the hour waiting to get the next plane to Maui, there on the cover of the Seattle Times or whatever major newspapers there is the president and wife of China looking right at me. They're on the front cover.
Yeah.
They just arrived in China. I mean, in Seattle. They're probably having a secret meeting with the Pope. They both arrived the same day.
Wow. Wow. That's a serious interplay right there.
That's right. I'd never seen Mrs. China, Mrs. First Lady. I don't even know who she is.
They had a huge meeting there. It wasn't with the Pope, but well, maybe it was, they had a huge meeting there. Yeah,
What did you say? High tech
yeah,
stuff. Right. They had high tech guys. They all were in a big picture, and I'm aware the Pope is coming to get me, so I take off. I leave the East Coast and I end up in China. I end up in Seattle. I'm cornered by the fucking Chinese who are coming from the other direction. I went and hid in a washroom until we got on the plane.
Bob's hiding in the bathroom. Don't look. But, you know, your picture on Phatic Communion, you know, with the keyhole and the wires coming out of it.
Yes.
That kind of reminds me of the parallel worlds when you were doing the rewrite, is that they were beginning to try and connect or listen.
Yes, they were trying to dial in.
Yeah, and I just...
That's a good point.
I thought of that many times, is that... that you hear these noises and you hear people's voices that come through that sound like globs, you know, and then you'll deal with it and you shut it down. And it's like on a homeopathic point of view, that keyhole is extremely small, you know, and to get that key, you know, head in there and to turn the lock. And here we are, a small group that have been privileged to listen to this. You know, we're, for reasons, able to go into that keyhole and listen, you know, and be part of this. So it's so beautifully intertwined. It's like this wonderful play is just constructed from above. And it's fun to be in part of it, and it's fun to watch it. It's fun to try and overlay things to see where they go, like patterns. And
yeah, well,
anyway,
you take that book cover. That book cover came out in 92. So 20, and I started talking about that book cover within the last year. So 22 years later, little I know, I make the book cover, and then I, and 22 years later, is going to be talking about it. But it refers to my going through the keyhole to the mantelpiece, that major parallel world archetypal thing that I experienced. You ever heard me talk about that? Going through the keyhole and then being on the mantelpiece, and then these people come and looking at me. I was a little porcelain doll or something on the mantelpiece. I expressed that unconsciously on my book cover, but the book cover was based on Carolyn's book. She did it first.
Yeah.
No. I told her. Her book was called When You Can't Reach the Doctor. It was made for patients. I said, okay, have your phone off the hook. Yeah, I did come up with the image, and we put it on her book, then we put it on mine. But that image is me picking up on that key going through a portal experience.
You're talking about that phrase from 2014, the little porcelain man sitting on the mantle.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Ayn has mentioned it many times. I years ago, you know, in the early years, went to had a portal transfer. I had a definite portal experience, and I ended up being sitting on a mantelpiece, and people's faces coming up and looking at me, and I didn't know what I was. I didn't know why they were looking at me. And Ayn said, "You were a little piece of porcelain, some little porcelain sculpture on a mantelpiece." And the people knew that you were inside there, and they're coming up and looking into the little porcelain eye holes or eye sockets trying to see me.
That's one of those phrases that I have played over and over again, and I know someday I'll understand that meaning, but it's one of those I keep replaying because I...
It's a poem. He does 12, summary of 12 phases. It says everything in that 12 lines, right?
Yeah, it does. Especially if you do, which is my favorite thing, is when Ayn makes a statement, like he'll say something like, this is the full Monty or whatever.
Yeah.
Go to either the dictionary or the urban dictionary and break the entire thing apart and look at it word by word. You know, it's almost like reconstructing a diagram, and you come up with like a meaning to what the phrase said. You know, that's one of my favorite things to do, because then I have something new to ponder, and I think it brings it closer to what Ayn's trying to say, you know, by not just using words. He's very careful how he phrases something, because if you'll listen, you can deconstruct it and come to a closer, I guess, understanding of what he's trying to convey. And he's done that a lot in the last 2 months. Oh, boy, did he do it. He did a couple of them that just I still haven't written out. And when I look at them, I just go, oh, it's right there. But if you don't deconstruct it, you won't see it. So I really encourage people to do that, because it is just like, it'll just blow your mind when you do that.
Well,
anyway, I keep those private, because to me they're just like something I'm not sure, you know, whether, you know, I just broadcast them out, but they're there. Yep.
Right. Well, that's the value of re-listening to any things. I don't go back and re... I have not reheard any session with Ayn since he came back in late 2013, early 2014, all those public things he's done. I've never gone back and heard any of them, but I know if one does, you know, Bert does, you get all kinds of amazing stuff you missed the first time. I know the value of re-listening.
Well, I think you should go back. I just re-listened to the April 4th. Of this year's, just listened to the entire, I don't know what it is, 18 hours, this week again, because to me it overlaid, this is the final tetrad of the blood moon. That was the third one. And there's a good overlay of both of them, because things that he said in there, like, with each blood moon, there was a, something that would happen. And he would tell us what was going to happen. And back in October of last year, he told us to anticipate when new Vestal Goodman is played in your house. Well, there on the April 4th, Ion goes, newsflash, newsflash, new Vestal Goodman is being played in your house. And then a new Vestal Goodman song came on. But the fourth one, this one, I have listened to over and over. There is no, he didn't give a definitive phrase for this last one. You know, I've been trying to pick that up. What is that definitive phrase? And I haven't been able to pick one up. But there was one for the first, the second, and the third. But I haven't picked up the one for the fourth yet.
You mean in a previous show? You haven't picked up from a previous show what was going to happen.
I have not picked up from a previous show what the phrase would be for this fourth one. Though I think Phil in the UK had pointed out, Ian had said, I think about, what was it, about a month ago, that this final one is a blood moon, but he said, no, it'll be a blue moon. And it's not a blue moon. It is not astrologically a blue moon, but
right.
Phil pointed out, look at the words of that song. You know, think Sinatra's song. I think it was Ella Fitzgerald was the one that wrote it. And you read the words to it, and you're like, oh, now that's close to the mark. But whether it is or not, I don't know. But I was curious to find the fourth one. It's like a puzzle, finding each piece, because he had said that the first one would be the reset, which it was. Remember when Matthew and all that nonsense, that was the reset.
Yeah.
And he said that before that blood moon came on, that that's what
right.
the first one would be. So it's planted in the archives, so all this is, but you have to, it, for me, it's important. So I listen for that when I pick up the phrases. I pull them apart.
Well, do you write down notes?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you should. You should post them on Dupes. You should make your notes. Everybody who re-listens should write stuff down and post them.
Yeah, whatever you notice. The, okay, I will absolutely post the four or the three that I picked up and the fourth one that I think, you know, might be
right.
it. But I haven't got that as a confirmation yet. Anyway.
Okay, so are you there, Bert?
Yes. You're welcome.
Okay, did I think Roxy left, though. We can't do the McLuhan without Roxy. So she's got to come back. Anybody want to drag her in? Go over there.
Come back.
Maybe she got knocked off.
Yeah.
You know, it wore out or something. But let's see. What else? Yep, that's what you guys got to do. You got to start making notes of your ideas. That's where you, it's like speaking. It doesn't matter what you, whether you think it's valuable or not. You just do it. You know, whether it's beyond personal or not, you just do it.
So, Bob, where you left off tonight on the session, are you going to continue from there, or are you playing something else?
Yeah, yeah, right from there. No, I'll play the last 3 hours. I've done the first 3 hours, and I'm going to do the last 3 hours.
Okay.
And I don't know what's discussed. I knew this was good because it started off with the rings, so I don't know what happens after that.
Mm-hmm. And for you, listening to it again, it just reminds you of so much and...
And also says things that I never didn't hear before. I didn't hear, there was a lot of things said in the last hour I don't remember. I took notes on it. What was it? He was saying neat little things. Oh, he talks about how JW is more on the movie side. That's Hollywood JW, the guy who's in there making inputs in the movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I didn't know that Methuselah was Noah's grandfather or whatever that stuff was. Then he got this phrase, the vacillations of ascension. Ion lets us hear the chip body responding to the other worlds. Some worlds are ascended. Squidbillies, God's bro, has something to do with CERN.
Yeah, even back then they're referencing to that show.
Yeah. Um, 40 days. what the chart is for. We never had that kind of statement handy, but it got asked a couple of times, so Ion laid it out. The recent Wall Street crashes, movies mentioned. Not even sure what I mean by that now. Were there movies involving Wall Street crashes? Movies mentioned.
They're coming out now. There's one coming out now just recently about the crash.
Right.
Well, they also mentioned that the RNA drops are in the Escher. I took a note of that when I heard that right at the end, I think it was.
He said the drops are in the Escher ring?
Yes. That was in there. That was discussed.
Now, we learned a lot about the lotus flower more later or something, but to hear how it is the fourth level activates the temple as a hologram, and then the fifth level of the chart is the octad. I don't remember that stuff.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Yes. Just think of the changes that we're about to experience. This is being released and spoken out, and it's in the archive publicly now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and we can ask Ion some questions.
Yeah.
What'd you say? Was that Sarah?
Well, we can ask Ion questions about this.
Yeah.
If he comes back, is he going to be back?
I don't know. It's pretty dramatic what's going on, so I don't know when he's going to come back.
Okay.
It's part of the, there's always a new drama, a new something, and it's interesting how it times with the fourth moon. And remember, Ion said a few weeks ago, get your house in order before September
28th. Yeah.
So I thought I'd help and let you guys have 24 hours to figure out the chart before the fucking guillotine comes down.
Thanks. Hey, Bob, you're so generous. Thank you.
Yeah. We're all going in to be executed. Oh, by the way, guys, here's the key right here. Just read these notes here before we go in.
Everybody's
so stunned by the epiphanies, they don't know they get their head chopped off. And that was cute when Sasha was getting an epiphany. She's getting an epiphany, and I analyzed the hell out of it. I killed the shit. I was totally lost what the hell it was by me. Well, what do you mean by this? I demand the grammar of it.
Bob, you're probing. Sometimes it's like, you know, you lose your complete train of thought. When you hear you start probing, it's like, wait a minute, that's not what I was trying to say. And then you go off and...
That's right.
Yeah.
Sasha said, my God, this is epiphany. I said, well, how's it epiphany? You just heard it. It's just your first, you're just saying, I heard what I have said. This is such an epiphany. I heard what he said. Okay, so did you come back in, Roxy? Are you here, Roxy? I don't see you here. Kim got us all distracted with whatever she was talking about. It pissed Roxy off.
Oh, no, I can't piss Roxy off. Yeah.
Well, maybe your phone broke.
Did you see on Ray Donovan, Bob, the girl that looks just like Roxy, and she's a luchadora. She's practices at the gym that what Bunchy owns or is managing now.
Do you mean the one that Bunchy married?
Well, I'm way behind. I don't know.
Oh. You're talking about the kickboxer. The kickboxer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get married?
I think she's Mexican.
When he,
right?
Yeah, she's from Mexico, and the guys, they're training. She's a luchadora, and that's
what's a luchadora?
That's what they call a luchador, is the Mexican boxers. But
okay.
You know, it's kind of combines acrobatics, and it's very,
yes.
It's like wrestling. It's really acrobatic, and they usually wear masks. And she got up on the ropes facing outward,
yes.
And then she did a backflip into the ring,
right.
And I'm like,
yes.
Roxy! She looks like,
you thought it was Roxy?
Looks like Roxy. Yeah, I think that's Roxy.
Yeah, Roxy does backflips when we're by doing these videos with me. And she's carved
and
out a whole
then she started talking about Rocky.
Nobody else has done.
She's been playing her Rocky theme and
yes, yeah, yeah. There was another movie that had her in it, something I saw. What would that be? So a Mexican person. No, I can't remember. I've watched so many different TV series the last few weeks. But she showed up in one.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I can go like this. I can use the other phone. And let's see if she's going to come back in.
Has anyone else listened to the Health and Wealth 2 that was just released 3 days ago or 4 days ago?
No, I didn't see that one.
It's really nice. Really, really, really nice. Bob and Roxanne have covered a lot of ground on the Health and Wealth perspective.
Right.
It's cool. Really fun to listen to.
Check it out.
Is your computer broken? Are you coming back in? I didn't say you're not important. What the heck is that? That's a hallucination. Did we say she was not important?
No.
No.
Said she was important.
What did you say about warts? Roxy, we didn't say about warts. What?
She was a warden. She's an important.
No, I don't mean
boxer.
That.
She's in the TV show, tell her. Ray Donovan. She's famous.
Well, no, come in and say it. Like, but, you know, other people are speaking, so I have to do it in order. So we have to do McLuhan now, so we can't do it without you, so come. No. Okay, let me.
Oh, boy.
Well, I won't say it like that then. If it comes across like that, I don't mean it that way. But if I say to the rest of them right now, did I tell Roxy to shut up?
No.
No. I don't know. Not that I remember.
No. Sarah, you got to see a Ted Carpenter display. Did I hear that? In something in the museum with Ted Carpenter?
Yes, in Houston at the Manil Museum. He was married. His wife was a Manil, and so he's had other. He did an exhibit for a museum in Paris, and then they moved it to the Manil, and it was his first exhibit with Eskimo tribal art, and they called it Upside Down. It was a large exhibit, and it was in the round. It was all white. It was really amazing. I mean, the pictures look amazing, but that closed right soon after he died. And the last thing they did there was they had a memorial service for him in that exhibit, I think in 2008, maybe. And so...